All right. Well, God bless you. We're going to turn on our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This weekend we'll be considering some things regarding the body of Christ. You know, I was thinking as we were singing, you know, how incredible it is to know regarding God's plan, what he planned in Christ all the way back from Genesis. And to know enough of the word where you see how this is unfolded so beautifully. And then the part that we play as the body of Christ, and then where this thing ultimately is headed. Isn't that something? You know, it's really when you understand it in light of, you know, what God originally said in Genesis 3, we're like almost there. It's amazing. You know, and the Word says that. The day is nearer than when we first believed. And the things that we're going to look at in God's Word, the things that we're going to read regarding the body of Christ, we always want to see these things and understand these things in light of the hope, in light of His return. That's what really will open this up as far as our understanding goes. So, with that, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12. And Romans 12 opens with, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. If you understand the mercies of God that have preceded what we're reading here, it only makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense. And be not conformed, verse 2, to this world or this age, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or mature will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In these verses, you know, what we're doing is in renewing our minds, and we'll look at that in just one moment, specifically what that is. You know, we are doing in response to the mercies of God rather than doing to obtain mercy. Isn't that something? Just that simple truth, understanding that, it just sets you free. Because we cannot earn, and we're going to see this as we get into this, we will never earn what it is we do for God. We will never earn anything that we do on, you know, in the name of God or in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things were done by grace. They were handed to us by what Jesus Christ did. Isn't that something? It says here to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, or what is to be believed. You could understand that as what is to be believed. And it is to think and live what we are and have been given in Christ by grace. When you understand what's come before this, what we're talking about, in terms of what God has given to be believed, it's those things regarding Jesus Christ. Those things regarding Jesus Christ. Romans opens with the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who was marked out as the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. It's Christ that was promised in the scriptures by the prophets. It's Christ that reveals the power of God. It's Jesus Christ who demonstrates the love and righteousness of God toward all man. It's through Christ that we're redeemed, and Christ through whom we are righteous. It's in Christ that we have access to God the Father and His grace. And it's in Christ that our great hope resides. It was Jesus Christ's believing, His righteousness, and His obedience that overthrew the death and the sin of Adam's disobedience and its condemnation. It's Jesus Christ with whom we are forever identified in His death and resurrection. And it's because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice that we have the very life of God, His Spirit, born within. Isn't that something? So who's this really about? Jesus Christ. See? And that's what we're going to see as we read, as we get into some of these one body truths, that it's about Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great verse in Acts 17 where it says, the King James says, God has given assurance unto all men. But it's the word believing. Let's read it. Acts 7. Keep your finger here. We're coming right back. Acts 17, 31. This is the record where Paul is in Athens. And they refer to him as a little seed picker. The great philosophers. And so Paul is on Mars Hill before this court, and he's walking through some things with him. And the path up to this thing was lined with idols all the way. But there was one idol that they had, in case they missed one, called the Unknown God. And what Paul did in his walk with the Father, because it was illegal to introduce another God, because they had too many already, he said, it's the Unknown God that I'm going to talk to you about. Isn't that something? And that's what he does. But in verse 29, he says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at it, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whom wherefore he hath given assurance unto all in that he hath raised him from the dead. That word assurance is the word for believing. He hath given believing unto all. And what that means is, this is what God has given to be believed. It's Jesus Christ. It's on Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to Romans. We're going to pick it up. We're going to read a couple more verses here. Verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function or doings. Verse 5. So we being many, or we being the many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What God is doing here is using the illustration of the body to explain that body of Christ. We're all of one. We are all one in who? In Christ. In Christ. One of the things we'll see, because we're going to go to Corinthians in a moment, is that when it comes to the body of Christ, it's not about what I do. It's really not about what you do. It's really about what God did in Christ and what Christ, as head of the body, does. Isn't that something? One of the things that sometimes comes up, and it came up in Corinth, is where people began to get caught up in what they did or didn't do, or caught up in what others did or didn't do in this body of Christ. And the result of that is what were they looking at?
People.
They were looking at people. They were looking at themselves or they were looking at others. Which means they had taken their eyes off of who?
Christ.
You ever hear of such a thing?
Never.
It's really something. And when you understand this in light of the hope, in light of the return of Christ, you begin to realize that the big deal isn't, you know, what God's given me to do. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful what he's given you to do. But where we're headed is the big deal. Right? Absolutely. It's really pretty simple. So we being the many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And we'll read a little bit more about this right now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. On the way to 1 Corinthians 12, I want you to stop in 1 Corinthians 1. I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a tremendous section, but we're just going to read a few verses. Verse 10 reads, "Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment, or same opinion. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions, or strifes among you. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, or Peter, and I of Christ. Simple question. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? So just from these few verses, you begin to see what happened in Corinth. And this is addressed throughout the epistle, but we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where it gets specifically into some things regarding this body of Christ. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts or things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This word gifts is the same word that was used in Romans 12, okay? Where it talked about we being many are in Christ, right? One body, but many members. Here it's differences of gifts, which is the word charismata, gifts of grace. But the same what?
Spirit.
Same Spirit. There are differences of administrations or ways of serving. But the same what?
Lord.
And there are diversities of operations. The word operations is effects produced. But it is the same what?
God.
Same God that worketh all in all. And this really makes clear that it's not about the function, but it's about that spirit of life that came from God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about the God that energizes those ways of serving in the body of Christ. Isn't that something? See, and that's what's being taught here to the saints, because they had kind of got caught up in some other things. It's really beautiful. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. This is set in contrast to what we've just read. And I'm not going to spend much time with this section, but it's speaking regarding the manifestation of the Spirit, which is given to every man. And then it goes through and lists the evidences of that Spirit. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, believing by the same. To another, the gifts of healings by the same. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, several diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. These words, to another, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this section, but these words, to another, are referring to the prophet. Each are for a different prophet. The manifestation is given to who? Right. And these words, to another, are speaking regarding the prophet of that manifestation, or the different evidences. But these all worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, referring to the man, as he will. So you've got, and I just want to point this out, because this is going to continue as we go. You've got the manifestation of the Spirit, spoken of as the manifestation. But it has different parts to it, doesn't it? Different prophets to it. Right? Mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues, for instance, has a different benefit than the working of miracles, does it not? Mm-hmm. Sure. See? But it's the Spirit, that gift, that life of God, that energizes all of that. See? Verse 12. For, as the body is what?
One.
And hath many members. Just like this, the body is one and has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are what?
One body.
One body. So also is Christ. Do you see it? Do you see how beautifully this is laid out here? For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit, or drink one Spirit. You know, when I read this verse, it always reminds me of the record of Jesus Christ with the woman at the well. And he says, the water that I have to give will spring up into everlasting life. And so, and then she said, oh man, give me some of this. Isn't that something? I love that record. And what he was speaking, what he was referring to was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that would come and that would result in everlasting life. You worship what you know not. You don't know what you worship. The true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what I'm coming to bring. Where we're reading now is, it had been brought. See? That's right. So we've all been made to drink into what?
One spirit.
And in this body of Christ, it's really beautiful. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We'll look at this a little bit more later. but there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Not one member, but many. But now, this is so beautiful. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath what? That's right. You know, this word set, it means to place, to set, to ordain. See? It's what God has done as it has pleased him. That's what we're reading, or starting to read about back in Romans 12. Each one of us is a member in particular. Each one of us has an assignment, a service. Because of that Spirit of God, by grace that we have born within. And it is as God has done. And what we're going to see here as we read, what we're going to see here is that all are needed. Everyone, every service is needed in the body of Christ. See? It's pretty awesome. And this is so contrary to the way the world thinks. See? You know, in Corinth here, they were born again ones. They were saints. And these things needed to be addressed like they did because they had taken their eyes off of Christ and started thinking like the world thinks. Started looking at things like the world looks at things. See? Started making determinations and judgments as to what's important and what's not. Do you understand? And that's what it says, as we're going to read here. We'll see it. So the body's not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? These are absurd questions being asked. Absolutely absurd. And what the absurd questions being asked does is it points out the absurdity of thinking contrary to what God has accomplished in Christ. It's absurd. See? So if your foot said to your hand, I'm not you, therefore I'm not part of the body. Okay, walk on your hands. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath what?
Pleased him.
It has pleased him. That's something. You know, we're members one of another, it said. It says it here and it said it in Romans 12. Just like the physical body. Last night, for instance, I walked in great love when I walked into the room. Because Greg and Marcia were sleeping and I stubbed my toe. I had the chair set at an angle at the desk. And they had been sleeping for like an hour. And I stubbed my toe. And my throat and vocal cords... But my mind stopped it. But the point is that there was this tremendous reaction. It affected my whole body. It really did. I even had a couple tears. I mean, I really stubbed my toe. But, you know, it's all the point is, it's kind of a humorous way to show it, but we know that. The whole body's tied together. You know, sometimes when one part of the body hurts, it affects all of you, doesn't it? See? And it's really beautiful. That's why this analogy, it's an illustration. It's just an illustration to make this point of how we are in this together. We are in this together with one head, Christ. See? We all confess the same Lord. We all receive the same life from God. We all have the same hope. We're all going to be gathered together at the same time. Isn't that something? And that's what's so beautifully being laid out here. So, God has set the members, everyone in the body. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased who?
Him.
And it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, are they many members, yet but one body? That's just so awesome. We're one body, because again, you go back to it's one Spirit, one Lord, one God that energizes it all. You know, excuse me, earlier in Corinthians, Paul addresses another issue along these lines. And it was that they were exalting certain men, certain ministries, certain functions in the body. And Paul there says, you know, by revelation, look, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. It's God. This is God's plan. This is God's plan being carried out. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I get to participate in what is going to happen. That's something. Those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ don't get to participate in that which is going to happen. See? It's really something. Pretty awesome. Greatest organization that's ever been. One body, verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what?
Necessary.
That's right. Let me read verse 23, then we'll come back. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The words which seem and the words which we think are from the same word. And it's the word dokeo. Dokomai, there's some other words. And it really, basically what it means is, it is our evaluation or our opinion. Isn't that something? It's what we suppose.
See?
And what God is instructing here, basically, and this will come to a conclusion down in verse 27, the heart of this thing is that every member is as it has pleased God, and every member is needed. There are no throwaways in the body of Christ. Okay. Isn't that something? We fight for one another. See, we're all in this together. Same Lord, same God, same Spirit. We have different functions just as the body has different functions. Now, there may be times, even in our own head, where we deem a certain part of our body to be less valuable than another until it's hurt. You know, or until, you know, when things break down, boy, it really shows up, doesn't it? Same thing in the body of Christ. Same thing. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. This is such a great verse. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, this is said in light of what it may appear to be to us. This word tempered is used a few places in God's word where it really shows the heart of it. And it's not unlike what the word means today, how we use it. Iron is a fairly soft metal. You can do certain things with it, but it doesn't make a good sword, for instance, because it bends. It corrodes very easily. But you mix iron with carbon. You know what that makes? Steel. And that, just the tempering of those two ingredients together, make the whole greater, far greater than the parts of which it's made up. Very similar with the body of Christ. This word is used, I noted it here, in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 2, you can turn there if you like, but most of us know this verse. And it talks about the Word of God. And it said, it did not profit them not being mixed or tempered with believing. You had the Word of God. Awesome. Revelation from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Sitting there on its own because it wasn't tempered with what?
Believing.
Now you take those two things, put them together, now you got something. You got eternal life. You got the power of God that can be manifested. Isn't that something? See? That's this word. That's what it's talking about. The parts that seem to be uncomely, they are tempered together. And together, they make steel. You see? Where the sum of it is greater than the parts. See? And all of this is in Christ. This was done by God through Christ. Isn't that something? That, verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Same care one for another. Same care. That's what it says. Same care one for another. You know, and as we get into this, we're going to begin to see the only way you're really going to do this is by way of that Spirit of God and keeping your eyes on Christ. These things that we're encouraged to do, that we're instructed to do, as our response to the mercies of God, we can do because of the Spirit of God. And He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And in looking at Christ and understanding what He did, when it really begins to dawn who we are and what we have because of Christ, then when the Word talks about, for instance, in Romans 15, receive ye one another as Christ Jesus received you. Well, when I begin to understand how Christ Jesus received me and what I have, and who I am, because He received me. ESV translates that as welcome. He welcomed me. Isn't that something? When I really understand that, then, you know, I begin to see how I can receive you like He did. Like He did me. See? And when it comes to a lot of the things that we're going to be looking at, you know, it stems from looking unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, it says in Hebrews, the author, the beginner, and the finisher of our what? Of our believing. See? Who for the joy that was set before Him, I love that verse, endured a cross. You and I will never have to do that. You and I will never have to fight to the death with the sin because we've been released from it by Jesus Christ. Pretty something. It's really something. So, there's no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members what? Because it's about Christ. There's no room for competition. There's no room for envy. All those yuck things. No room for it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Isn't that beautiful? And it basically means each member has a part. Each member has a service to perform. The great key, really, as we get into this, it's not the what. It's not the what we do. It's the how. And that's what God looks at. He looks at the heart. It's really something. There's a great section. I got to wrap this up. But there's a great section in Romans 16. Maybe we'll read that. Maybe we'll read that later. But it just lays out the names of these wonderful saints that laid down their lives. You know, Aquila and Priscilla, married couple, lived with Paul for a while, but they stood for the rest of their lives. And they hazarded their lives so the word could move. And there's just, you know, saint after saint listed. You don't really know who a lot of them are. But it's one of my favorite chapters in the Word, because what it does is it shows me how God knows these people. They're in the Word of God. Rufus made the Word of God. That's something. Phoebe. Ah! Going to high-five each other. They read the Word of God. Romans 16. Let me show you. It's really something. But see, they're there as God set them, as God placed them. And you are there because God set you. See? You know, and that's just the truth. Whether you feel like it or not some days, that's the truth. All right? Amen. We're going to take a break.